Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
Wow, what smooth dulcet tones we had this
Hello
morning.
Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage.
Okay, that's probably enough. I think they get it by now. This is Chet Haas from the Android Toolkit team. And we have...
I'm Samir Gataria. I'm also from the Android Toolkit team.
What a coincidence. Turns out really easy to get guests from people that work within like 20 feet of you. Also, really easy to get guests when they are working on new stuff that was just announced.
Yay.
So we're here to talk today about...
Work Manager.
Work Manager, which is what?
Work Manager is a library, part of Android Jetpack, that we just released to Alpha at I.O. And it's basically a library about background processing for Android. There's a ton of different ways to do Android background processing, and this solves a very particular set of needs that are hard to do. So it's basically in the category of guaranteed execution that is also deferrable, meaning that things that Job Scheduler would solve on newer APIs, but hopefully the API is better. It's also backwards compatible, works with or without Google Play services. That's a long explanation about Work Manager.
That was a big sentence, but I think that captured everything. I think that covers the episode for
All right,
today.
Well, it's been great to have you.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, so we had Job Scheduler.
Yeah.
But the problem was Min API what?
Job Scheduler is Min API 21. And due to a couple of bugs that aren't very desirable, really it's API 23 is how we recommend using Job Scheduler.
I like the idea that there's desirable bugs.
Yeah, there's a couple of desirable bugs, at least from the developer point of view, maybe not the framework point of view.
Okay, so what were those problems actually?
I'm trying to remember. I think there was one with how periodic work worked. I think it was basically, how flex periods worked were different within what Google Play services expected and what Job Scheduler provided. And so I think that sort of flip-flopped in the OS at some point. There were a couple of other, timing-related issues that are pretty subtle, but they do come up. Even for Work Manager, we use Job Scheduler internally only on 23 plus.
I see. So we had Job Scheduler for Marshmallow and Up. And there was also a Play Services library one could use, correct?
Yeah. So GCM Network Manager or the sort of the client-side library is Firebase Job Dispatcher. So that's been the case.
I see. So is the new library... basically a shim, like support library on top of that, so that on the right API level, it'll use Job Scheduler. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll use Play Services. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so basically, it uses Job Scheduler on 23+. If you have a Firebase Job Dispatcher dependency, and you sort of tell us about it, we'll use that.
On
lower APIs.
Lower APIs. Okay.
And then if you don't have that, which may be the common use case, or if you're targeting things that don't use Google Play services, devices like that, then you can use, we provided a new thing internally, it's all internal, using Alarm Manager and Broadcast Receivers. So we kind of give you the same functionality where possible, and we use Alarm Managers and Broadcast Receivers instead.
So one of the advantages to using Job Dispatcher or Job Scheduler, besides the fact that they share letters, so that's convenient, is that they can pool requests across the system, right? So if there are multiple applications all using Job Dispatcher, they're all going to get synced together, right?
Yeah.
Is that a facility that you can do in this library, or is it just
so
the app is on
itself? So if you are using if you're shimming to those particular libraries, then yes,
sure.
That obviously comes with the package. But for the Alarm Manager implementation, unfortunately, that's not the case. So if you're using it on an older device or a non-Google Play Services device that's a little older, yeah, you're probably going to have a case where we try to be very conservative with the background work we do and how many things we have running at any given time, because potentially every app on that device could be using that implementation and firing their own alarms and their own broadcast receivers. So we want to be very careful with that.
Are you doing tricks so that if you were to pick certain fixed times, let's say right on the hour or 12 seconds after, then all the processes that happen using the same library would wake up around the same time. So the device would really only be working, you know, it wouldn't be waking up at half intervals, right?
Yeah.
Because they're all sort of synchronized on the same clock. Are you doing tricks like that?
We aren't currently, and that's actually why I think the alpha is very important. We want to get developer feedback on that stuff. We are Well, actually, right this second, there isn't any fuzzing, but we do want to add some fuzzing to those alarms. We might try to match them to like certain cadences or, you know, top of the hour or something. Maybe top of the hour is not the best one because maybe other things on your in your app are using top of the hour and we don't want to, you know, blow up servers and stuff. But yeah, certainly open for possibilities there.
So my understanding, so each app is on its own, like it's going to be scheduling its own alarms and not collecting unless we have common times like that. But I think the equivalent thing would essentially be what the app would have to do on their own, right? Yeah. So if they're, one of the things my understanding was that you were trying to solve with Work Manager was applications already have to do this. They already try to use Job Scheduler because maybe that's the most robust thing, and then they back off to Job Dispatcher when available, and then they roll their own if neither of those are available. So we've basically done that same thing except encapsulated in one API.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that was like a huge part of it. The non-Google Play services was a huge part of it. And then, of course, like a sort of a more modern API, a cleaner API, and sort of we also provide functionality, like we allow chains of jobs, so you can actually set up a dependency tree or a dependency graph and say, you know, A has to happen before B, and after B is done, do C and D together. You can specify things like that. We also allow you to like observe the state of your job, so you can say, hey, is this particular thing that I asked for, is it done? Is it still running? Is it succeeded or failed? You can do that kind of querying too.
It sounds similar to live data stuff?
It is a live data, in fact, yes. Okay. So tying in with the rest of the architecture components.
So the same API, so these are live data objects, or yeah, we're using the same observable interfaces?
Yes, okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Wow, it's kind of like we're all part of the same team.
Yeah.
Weird. So doesn't async task already do all this stuff? Couldn't you use that instead?
Yeah, async task does a fair amount of this stuff. So it isn't, it doesn't do the guaranteed execution part, which is that if you say this operation really needs to happen, but when I have a network and your app process dies, that's not an async task suitable thing. You can't do it with async task alone. Yeah. The other part of the problem with async task is that there's a lot of foot gun moments, as Adam calls it. Basically, you can shoot yourself in the foot with it because you can pass a context, and then if you somehow leak that context, which is easy enough to do, and there's tons of Stack Overflow threads about that, you can really end up in a bad state. So we're trying to just get people away from async task. It's very powerful. It's very good. But you have to know what you're doing, and you have to sort of be very careful with it. And so it's sort of two answers to that. There's async task solves a slightly different problem because it works when your app's in the foreground, and it needs something else to work when the app has to be woken up. And the other thing is that it's sort of easy to mess up.
Yeah, my understanding was async task was powerful to begin with, but people end up getting themselves in trouble with either leaks or crashes because of lifecycle issues.
Yeah.
Right. So how is this handled in the new world with Work Manager then?
Yeah.
I mean, you have similar issues. The lifecycle is still there, right?
Yeah. So everything is sort of done on a background thread that we handle for you. You can specify the executor and all of that. So we run all of the code. We make sure that we are, everything's backed by a room database that we have. So that's actually where the live data stuff comes in. So the observation is lifecycle aware, and so no leaks on that front. As far as the execution of the work goes, everything is, well, there's two ways to do it. So, or two ways that we do it. So when a work is available to run and your process is already running, we'll just send it to the executor so you don't even incur an IPC delay or anything. The other thing that can happen is your app is already dead and the conditions are met. So in this case, the system, through either Alarm Manager, Firebase, slash Play Services, or Job Scheduler, sends a signal to the app to wake up and do that job. At that point, we wake up, do it in the background, we inform you, again, live data's safe as far as observation goes from leaks and all of that. So those are the two ways we do it.
Okay. And you mentioned API earlier, like one of the reasons to do this was to provide, you know, a more modern API.
Yeah.
So what are aspects of the API that you are a big fan of? Not that you are, you know, objective in this.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of my API because, it's actually a very fluent API. So you can do stuff like, say, we really wanted to make it easy to do chains of work. So you can say, work manager get instance begin with job A, then job B, comma C, then job D or whatever you have, and then dot in Q. And that sort of encapsulates the entirety of the flow of the job and the dependency graph of the job. And we provide more methods that make it more powerful, but that's sort of the easy sort of case. And what job A, B, and C are, they're just... again, builder objects, and they specify a worker. A worker class is the entirety of where you do all of your background work. So it makes it very testable. So basically, we're providing sort of less top-level constructs and methods, because I think that's one of the things that is tricky about Job Scheduler and some of these other APIs, because they, for example, Job Scheduler gives you a job builder that actually can throw an illegal state exception when you call build, because you can specify a combination of parameters that aren't valid. They don't work together, and it doesn't know what to do with it. We try to just avoid that problem entirely. So these are the kinds of problems we're trying to solve. It's more fluent. It's more builder-like. It hopefully works nicer with Kotlin, which is a big plus.
Yeah, say more about that. So do you have extension methods for Kotlin? Is there a separate sort of Kotlin extensions library for this? Or
yeah, there okay. is. There is, and it's somewhat limited right now because we sort of ran out of time right before I/O to do that. But the very important ones are there, but we're going to add more.
This is in KTX or it's in the library itself?
It's a separate. It's workmanager-runtime-KTX.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I call async task dot, then you redirect me to the right place instead.
Well, no, not async task, but...
That'd be a little aggressive, maybe.
Yeah,
but
possibly, yeah.
Lint check.
Yes. Okay. And you've already added nullness annotations and all that stuff on the API, so that...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like how Tor runs this podcast. It's more like a code review.
Yeah.
Well, I was more thinking from the Kotlin angle. It's really important, you know, because I assume that the base implementation is in Java then, since you're...
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, if you miss any nullness annotations, then Kotlin is going to be more upset about that than Java developers. Java developers won't know. They'll just be calling and,
they don't know what they're missing.
Getting those runtime null pointer exceptions, whereas from Kotlin, the compiler is going to be sort of upset.
Yeah. And actually, to your point about did we write it in Java first, which we did, the reason I did that is because I thought it was very good, very important to have a good Java API as well. I think Kotlin API is, because Kotlin is just more powerful, we can kind of make that happen. But Java, if you sort of get it wrong the first time, then it's just, you can't really ever fix it.
Yeah, and I think that's our general approach for the support libraries right now, right? Is that they don't actually depend on, most of them don't depend on the Kotlin runtime. They're basically pure Java libraries. And then we decorate them with KTX libraries to give you that extra nice surface.
So Work Manager is loosely one of what we consider to be the architecture components. Mm-hmm. From a couple of standpoints, like I guess the biggest one is the effort a couple of years ago to sort of step back and say, what are the pain points for developers, right? Then we worked on the lifecycle stuff and the room stuff, and we announced the navigation stuff, whose podcast should be out by the time this gets out there, and Work Manager as well. Can you talk about the things that brought this up as a pain point or how you approach solving the problem?
Yeah, we actually just touched on a couple of those things. So part of it is, so I've been doing Android apps for, you know, 6-7 years before joining the framework team, the toolkit team. Chad hates it when I say the framework team.
So we worked together briefly probably 6 or 7 years ago when you were working on the G+ app.
Yeah,
internally.
Yeah.
You were working on UI and animation stuff at the time.
Yeah, and you know, over the years, it's been pretty clear that while Android provides a lot of tools, there's been very little structured guidance. You can basically use any tool to do background processing, but with varying degrees of success and sometimes varying degrees of correctness For example, we just talked about async task and how it's not suitable for all things, but it is really powerful and it's really good for a particular set of problems.
New thread.start, isn't that how everyone does it?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, right?
You know, everything looks like a nail if you can use any tool as a hammer.
Yeah, and Android like literally just gives you a box full of hammers and it says, pick a hammer and just go at it. Like, we have sync adapters and we have GCM network manager, job schedulers, threads and loopers and handlers and just, you know, there's so many things. I was sort of looking at other sort of APIs at some point on vacation, just for fun. And, you know, things...
We're going to talk about your vacations a little bit more afterwards.
Yeah, I'm technically on vacation today.
Yeah, double reason to talk about your vacation choices.
This is what we do for fun here.
Yeah. If you look at like web development or something, like there's, you know, like, of course, there's many ways to do sort of async things, but generally speaking, there's like a handful of things that are just considered above and beyond the best ways to do it. And they're very easy. You just sort of pass work off and then you kind of, you do async await or something like that. And you just kind of wait for it. And that's it. And, you know, Java provides some of those abilities, but they don't necessarily work well with Android because of lifecycle issues. Because on a mobile device, you have to really worry about, is your app in the foreground? There isn't just the one thing that's running in the front, like a web page is. And you also have to worry about battery. So, you know, one of the things that we've tried in Android to do for the last few years is really focus on battery and doze mode and things like that make it very difficult to just do work and expect it to finish without considering all of those things like, did your app go into doze mode or what happens when the screen is turned off or, even device-specific optimizations that some manufacturers do. So that was sort of the world of problems. And, I never solved it satisfactorily when I was working on apps myself. So this was really just kind of a chance, just putting all of these things together. I really saw that as like a problem area. And talking to other people, it seemed like the people who had to do background work really, you know, needed some help and guidance and like structured feedback from Android.
I'd be curious. So there are different areas where that's been a problem for a long time and it just doesn't get solved. And then, you know, finally we're realizing these and, you know, going and working on lifecycle or this or whatever. And there are other areas where it was a problem for a long time. And then people like, you know, Square or whoever did a library around it. So the idea of, you know, observing events in an easier way meant that RxJava was picked up in a really big way because we were not solving that problem easily for people, right? And that's great. Or retrofit for, you know, network transaction stuff or Picasso and Glide for bitmap stuff. Like why, if this and some of the other things, like what is it about these areas where it was not solved in a way that people could share? Obviously, it was solved in apps. Mm-hmm. Like everybody has to deal with this problem. I wonder why this didn't become one of those areas that people felt like doing open source libraries around.
In fact, there are a couple of libraries that sort of go at this from different perspectives. So, you know, a couple of them don't do Google Play services or non-Google Play services cases. Some of them, don't take advantage of some other system methods or functionality that we have. Some of them, we also feel it's important that like querying and chaining is like sort of a first class citizen in this background processing world. And some of them don't take advantage of that or don't offer those facilities. We think live data is very powerful, for example. There are people who've looked to solve this, and there are some very good libraries out there too. Just sort of looking at the package of things that we could have put together or we did put together, I thought that was important that we can provide more. And in addition, being that we sit right next to the people who write job scheduler and do all of the system level optimizations, I think that also means that we can be very current. So when the P developer preview comes out, we can include all the P stuff, and for Q and so forth, we can give you all of the same functionality faster, and we can work around the bugs for older things. So there are like a couple of things we're working around on Marshmallow that aren't quite as desirable, again, you know, less desirable bug chat.
Yeah. The nice thing about this is that it's a library. So unlike, you know, the mistakes in Job Scheduler and API 21, you could release Alpha 2 of this library and then it could fix this stuff.
Right. Yeah. Not that we ever have bugs, but yes.
Never going to happen again.
Yes. No. There will be an Alpha 2.
We learned our lesson on those undesirable ones. this goes back to release what?
It goes back to ICS, so 14.
Okay. All right.
And that's true for basically all the support libraries, right?
Yeah. It almost all of them. I think slices might be 19, but yeah. Right.
So there is an exception with some of the APIs in support libraries, specifically in AppCompat. Sometimes we'll put an API there because it's convenient to sort of put it with the rest of the APIs you're probably using, even though it may not fully work except on, you know, the platform release that came out with that functionality, and then it's sort of stubbed out in earlier releases. So you call the API, and then in earlier releases, it may not do anything. This and the rest of the architecture components and most of the non-app compat stuff, I would say, basically has a full implementation to do the right thing.
Yeah, there's only maybe a couple of things that are marked as like requires API something higher than ICS. And that's basically because those things didn't exist. Like content URI triggers did not exist till I think 24. Yeah. So you can't
release
them.
So you've annotated the API with requires API, whatever it is. Yeah. So when the caller is calling this, if their min SDK is less than that, they're going to say, hey, this is going to crash, so we want you to surround this with an SDK int check. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Okay. Basically, we don't know what this is.
We're just plumbing all the way through, so it would, okay.
Yeah. And there's only like maybe two or three things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that gets flagged in the tool. So at the time that they're writing the code, they know that this is not, like it's not even going to build.
Red underline. Long. Yeah, it will build.
It will?
Well, the thing is, yes, it'll build because we don't run lint as part of your build because we don't want to slow your build down.
Yeah.
But it does run on the fly in the editor. And of course, on your CI server, you should be running lint. And so you should get an error when you try to check this in. Now, for the support library, we actually turn on linting as part of the builds, I think. You know, there's a special task called lint vital, which you can basically, for a release build, so it'll run it anyway on designated checks. And I think we've upped the severity of the new API check, which is what this check we're talking about is, so that at build time, it's not going to build if it has any of these errors.
Okay. So status right now, you said it was released as alpha. And again, this is a hallmark of at least the new architecture components work that like we're coming out with early releases because we actually want the feedback. They are meant to address developer experience issues.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get feedback from developers on how well they address them, right?
Yeah. So it's in alpha right now, probably a new drop coming, you know, within a week or so with some bug fixes and documentation fixes that people sort of pointed out or we noticed. We're going to just be iterating and looking for developer feedback. Hopefully, you know, we can get to stable if everybody's happy later in the year. No firm timelines yet, but.
We don't promise futures here.
No.
APIs promise futures, I think, but we don't. Okay, so a couple of things then. How do they submit feedback since that's something we actively want?
Yeah. That's the Android bug tracker, just okay, so under architecture components, just file a bug.
Okay. And also, are there specific areas that you really want people to pound on that you feel you really need that input more than others?
Yeah, I think older devices that aren't using Google Play services, that's like where the lion's share of the custom code went. You know, we are obviously, you know, passing things to Job Scheduler and stuff, and we're fairly confident those things are just working as intended, and we're handling sort of the edge cases, but older devices are something that I would really like to hear back on and make sure that people are happy with the performance and everything like that.
Is there a way just to tell it to not use those newer mechanisms if you want to sort of debug what the experience is like on older devices?
We do have a testing library. I don't have that particular functionality, but that does sound very useful.
That sounds useful, yeah.
Yeah, is just skip Job Scheduler entirely.
If not, I assume using emulator on something prior to 23.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's yes, we ship Play Store images now, so they have Play services and everything, but we also ship ones without, I think, without Google APIs and anything. So I assume those also would be exercising the code path.
Yeah, and even if they have the Play services image, you have to explicitly say, I want the Firebase dependency. I'm including Firebase, and now I want it.
How does one say that?
There's an optional Gradle dependency that you can say work-Firebase, and it'll indicate I use Firebase. So
I see. So normally I just depend on Work Manager, whatever the artifact name is, but I would add the second dependency on, give me the Firebase integration of Work Manager.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. The other thing that I've been noticing has been coming up a lot is a lot of people have questions on when exactly should we use Work Manager versus anything else, which is, by this I mean like things like RxJava, thread pools, what have you. I do want to put out maybe like a blog post or something like that where with like sort of more guidance on it. But I do appreciate all the people who are asking me these questions and when bringing it up, because I think there are many cases where it's not the right tool. And what I don't want to say is that this is the one thing that solves everything. It's definitely not. It's background work is complicated, and we want to make sure that we give you the right tools, but not, you know, 20 hammers, like I said. I want to give you two or three and give you the right guidance to choose the right one. So
you're saying it's better to have one big hammer than to have 10 small ones?
Well, I'm saying...
Because that seems like to go in the opposite direction of what we're generally doing now, which is to provide a thing that should cover most of your needs, and you shouldn't have to go and sort of pick it.
Yeah, so the problem with background work is that there's a few different categories of it, right? And so if you, for example, if you want to process a payment transaction, like you hit buy in your app,
yeah,
you really want that to go through. You really want to make sure that the system doesn't kill your app. So that might be a foreground service or some kind of, you know, a service that upgrades to a foreground service.
Oh, I see. So people thinking that this should be background work.
Yeah.
Really are wrong about that. It should be synchronous as much as possible, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, and something like if you're, the other example I gave at I/O was like, you have a bitmap and you want to do some palette extraction from it to tint your UI. That really only applies when your app's in the foreground. So go ahead and use async task or threads or RxJava for it, like, or coroutines if you're using Kotlin.
I just would love for more developers to use background services, because so many times I am in difficult network conditions and they're like, sorry, can't reach, let's just say for, you know, Google.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment, right? And then so then my whole thing is discarded.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I'm trying to upload something. Well, actually, it's a bad example because I think they eventually added that in Google Plus, in fact. I was like, I want to post this picture. Oh,
yeah.
Can't read network. And then so, you know, and I had a location there. And by the time I was back in the network, it was all wrong.
Yeah.
And so many times I would like it to go, oh, I can't do this in the moment. I'm going to remember what you did and I'm going to do it when I can.
Yeah. So this does solve that issue. And I think that's like a huge sort of chunk of work that I think people need to, like developers need to mentally split what needs the reliability and sort of the...
But can you say more about reliability? Like, what about background work is not going to be reliable?
Well, reliable means, does it actually need to finish at some point when the conditions are met? And that's what I call guaranteed execution for Work Manager. So once you have a network, this work will execute.
And your library does support that, right?
Yes. Those are the things that the library supports. But things are just like sort of one-off and you don't
really need... Give me some examples of things that I wouldn't want to use your library for.
Sure. So let's say that you're getting some data from the server and throwing it in a view. There's no database involved. There's nothing about this work actually requires you to wake up the process to do this work. It's strictly in the foreground of your app. That's something that doesn't need Work Manager. Because Work Manager will actively wake up your app at some point in the future if the conditions are met.
I see. So I want it to be background work because we don't want to do network from the UI thread.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go to Work Manager because...
Because Work Manager will, for example, let's say that I go into the app, it's showing a spinner because the network conditions are flaky or there's no network. And I say, well, forget about this. I'm going to go out of the app. You don't want this task to execute 10 minutes down the road, waking up your process. You've already forgotten about it.
But if you've added a beautiful API for me to do this, and I'm looking around at the other APIs and they're not beautiful, is there some easy way for me to use your library, but then like in my applications exit, just go, oh, cancel all my jobs? Is that easy to do?
You can. I think it's a little bit more heavyweight than you would really want, because you're then internally you're talking to Job Scheduler and all of these other things. You can totally do that, though.
I'm just comparing that to what I think is involved with doing the background network update thing without leaks.
Yeah.
Might be worse, right? If I'm not using your library, I might introduce a leak instead. I should do marketing for your library.
Sorry. Yeah. You should. So I do want to provide support for that class of operations down the road.
Okay.
I think that what I don't want people to do is think that this is, there isn't a cost. I want people to be aware that waking up your process is expensive. It's draining battery. And these are, that's sort of the non-goal of this, you know, this library. Okay. We want to make sure that we're waking up your app only when it needs to be woken up. I think it's a very subtle thing. I'm having to find having found myself saying, no, wait a sec, think about this, to a few people. And yeah, you're right, that's probably not great marketing, but I also want to make sure that people learn to identify their work and split it in sort of the right categories of things.
Right. I mean, maybe what we need is another Jetpack library to do sort of foreground background processing.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be a separate library even. Maybe Work Manager does do that just with sort of separate top-level constructs. And
yeah, maybe we just have a different method that says, I want this to be a foreground task.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a non-wake-upable task or whatever.
We've talked a lot about this. Okay. The foreground service case, I really do want to get to. And then the sort of, I don't know what the other word is, the one-shot, one-off task where you sort of don't care about it being saved in a database and your app being woken up. Yeah, yes, that's sort of maybe further out, but I do want to do that as well.
I mean, I think that's reasonable because the library is Work Manager.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really, so that doesn't indicate to me, oh, you don't want to use it when something is going to be waking up the device, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this seems to be the task API. I have something I want to run. This is the API to do it.
Yeah, it's just sort of an implementation detail that right now it is focusing on solving the background issues.
Yeah,
but that in the future
we picked the
could expand.
Sort of what I consider to be the hardest case.
Yeah.
Certainly with, you know, Kotlin coming forth and once coroutines are more stable, that's an excellent way to do it. So I thought maybe that's not, you know, where I want to start.
Yeah, I happen to have talked to the coroutines people last week, and it's incredibly stable.
Oh, great.
What's
okay.
not stable is the API. So they're still sort of reserving the right to listen to feedback and tweaking the API, but people are using it in production apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had another question to go back to the dependency, the Gradle dependency. So you said that you have to add an explicit dependency on Firebase. Is there some reason why if I'm already using Firebase, I wouldn't want to do this? Or is it basically a potential lint error to be depending both on Firebase and Work Manager, but not Work Manager dash Firebase?
It's not an error. I think if you're using Firebase, there's no reason.
Okay.
That
you, so there's no downside.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is that if you're for whatever reason, if you think that you can get rid of the Firebase dependency, you'll save yourself some methods and APK size, but you'll lose out on the sort of centrally load balanced way of doing work.
Got it.
Yeah.
How does one debug this stuff? If I have an app and is there some way in the debugger to find what the tasks are, or do I sort of just insert some print lines, or what's the
print line thread.dump stack?
Yeah, pretty much. I think the testing story is pretty good. So we do have a testing library, and that's going to get a lot more work in the coming alphas. But
let's say I'm not at the testing stage. Let's say I'm at the stage where it's not working right, and I want to debug.
Okay, you want
to
debug? Yeah. So we do have lots of logging, but in terms of sort of stepping through things, other than setting your own breakpoints, that's a little difficult because what we're trying to do is give you sort of a more correct way of executing things. But that also means not necessarily everything is as upfront and visible.
I see. But you said you have logging statements in the library, so
yeah,
I can go and enable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're logging, you know, a fair amount, and we'll...
All right, so print line debugging is what I'm hearing.
Print line debugging is pretty much what you're hearing, yeah.
All right, well, I mean, it's how a lot of system debugging is done.
Yeah, well, unfortunately,
because whenever you get into time-varying things, like animations, I ended up using print lines a lot more than step debugging because, you know, the process of stepping through the code changes the way things happen. The same thing here, if it's happening asynchronously, you want to see what actually happened instead of...
And a lot of it is, you know, if job scheduler is or isn't invoking you, that's sort of a subtle thing. And you have to look at system logs at that point. Okay. So there isn't necessarily an answer of a straightforward answer of why isn't my job running?
Yeah, you know. I was more thinking if I have dependency graphs and things and figuring out where am I in this thing now? What has run? What hasn't run?
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
assuming
yeah.
I'm just going to be inserting like workmanager.getInstance.getJobs.toString.
Yeah, yeah. There is...
Do you have good toString methods?
We do have toString methods.
Great.
And also there you can use the getStatus methods. We also provide a synchronized API, so a synchronous API. So you can actually, if you want to just sort of make sure that like there isn't a bug in your job, you can actually just run everything synchronously. So you can just, you know, if you're already on a background thread, you can just be like, okay, boom, do this. And
your statuses, are they ints that I have to sort of interpret as numbers?
They're enums.
Enums. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Wow. I think we have some breaking news here.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Support
data structure
libraries
before.
Using enums.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
There was enough sort of churn on that one, but I think we decided on the right thing here.
Okay.
This is a different world than it was a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wondered, different topic. So this is a new thing. Wouldn't it be nice if people could easily learn how to use the thing? So I know you did a talk at I.O.
Yeah.
I assume that there's also documentation sample code on the developer site.
Yes.
Are there other resources? Was there a code lab or anything?
There are code labs. There's a sample. Well, I don't know if the sample's been put on GitHub yet, but there are code labs where I think Lila did a talk on a video about this.
Okay. Like a dev byte.
A dev byte, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's out.
Okay.
I should double check that. I think it is, yes.
Okay.
And like I said, we're sort of active on answering questions on Reddit, and you know, you can reach me via Twitter or whatever. Like we're definitely looking forward for feedback, and like we're answering.
All right, that answers all of my questions and more.
Every single one.
More than you want.
Rest, I'll just basically put on the queue.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.